Our speaker tonight is our brother David Sanders, and he is to speak to us on the subject, Hope for a Hopeless World. And he's asked that as an introductory reading, we take Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now ask for your attention as our brother speaks to us on that subject, hope for a hopeless world.
Very good evening to you all, my dear friends. When you use the word hope, in what context do you use it? Is it positive or is it negative? It can be either, can't it? And from what we were saying this morning, it needs to be positive, doesn't it? In the Christian context, in the biblical context, this has to be a positive. So this evening, this is going to be a positive, I hope, a positive address. And we're going to look at the word hope as it is used in the scriptures. Well, I've selected the passages. There's a lot. It's a big title. We're just going to skim over the surface this evening. My wife will tell you that I often do things back to front. And we're going to start in the New Testament, first century AD, and we're going to go back third century BC, and then we're going to come back again. So, the hope in a hopeless world. We've just read, haven't we? Paul was speaking to the believers. He's talking to believers here at the church at Ephesus. And he was saying that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. So first of all, we can see what is involved, firstly, with this word hope. And you're saying that before you became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you had no hope. And because you were without God in the world, and the hope is bound up with God, and what we see there, with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's bound up with being aliens. No, we're not talking about aliens that you see at the pictures. We're talking about those who are estranged or nothing to do with or haven't had any connection with the commonwealth of Israel. And we're going to look at Israel. They are involved in this. With also the covenants or promises that God has given. So when you look at hope, it's quite a vast subject. Because the hope is, in fact, it's the gospel message. I've got one missing there. Oh no, that's it. So we come to in the 3rd century BC, we come across a man called Abram, or Abraham. And this is a covenant, this is a promise that God made to him. And I've underlined the main points. And we read, don't we, that he was going to leave his father's house unto a land, There's a land involved in this hope. And notice the eyes. And this is what God is saying he's going to do. I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, which he did. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Something's gone wrong here. So, no, it's all wrong. Let's go, shall we, to Acts chapter 26. I've skipped quite a bit there, but never mind. We'll come to that in a minute. Acts 26. We're going to take the majority of our verses by reading from Acts chapter 26. And we come across this man called the Apostle Paul. Now, he came into conflict with the establishment because he started to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't like it. And so they caused him a lot of trouble. Often was slung into prison, scourged for what he believed. And in chapter 26 and verse 1, we read that he was before Agrippa. He said, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." And Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. He said, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day, because before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews." You see, not only did the authorities didn't like him, some of the Jews didn't like him, and although he was a Jew himself. "Especially because I know you to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." And then he goes on to tell you what kind of life he led. "My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, known all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee." And they were what you call right wingers. There was no mercy for anybody. They didn't have much love or sympathy for those who didn't support what they believed or their cause. And he said, "And now I stand and I am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." We'll come across that, as we've just already done, in Genesis chapter 12. But that's the hope of the promise made unto our fathers. "Unto which promise our 12 tribes," or the 12 tribes of Israel, "instantly serving God day and night, might hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." The promise, notice there again, the promise. Well, the covenants that were made to the patriarchs in the past of our 12 tribes. Actually, that word 12 tribes is the only time it is used in the scriptures. In actual fact, it's only one word. It's not two words. And somebody's talking about the 12 tribes. He's not talking about 12 independent tribes. He's talking of a united Israel. Verse 8, and which is very important. This is what the hope, the gospel message, is based on. And people didn't like what they were teaching. "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" This was another bone of contention with the Jews. And they didn't like what they were hearing from the words of the Apostle Paul and other apostles who were preaching the word. And then in verse 10, "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." This was his previous life. It made their life miserable, these Christians. according to them, they were a blot on the landscape and they shouldn't be there. And this was the kind of person he was. But we know it changed. Verse 18. Verse 17, for connection, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, of whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to the light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Forgiveness of sins comes into the equation, as also does faith in verse 18. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first them of it at Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So we see that repentance comes into the equation as well. Verse 23, again, he keeps on banging on this theme, doesn't he? And he won't let it go, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. He's quoting there from the book of Isaiah. He knew his Bible, did Paul, very well. Verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. This guy had understanding. He was expert in all their customs. He knew what he was talking about. But he was in such a position of authority that he couldn't let it go. Why should I give up this lovely, comfortable lifestyle to follow the Apostle Paul, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll lose everything. Almost persuaded him to become a Christian, but just couldn't make that move, that step, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I would to God that not only there, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He was a chained man. He was chained up. He was on his way to Rome. Earlier in the Acts of the Apostles, he was up before the governor Festus when then Paul did actually appeal to go to Caesar because he was a Roman citizen. Although he was a Jew, he was a Roman citizen and therefore he could appeal to Caesar. Acts 28, verse 17. Verse 16, for connection, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. He was chained to a Roman soldier. And it came to pass after 3 days, he called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who then, when they examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. That was his hope. He was chained to a man who was guarding him. And he saw in that chain the reason why he was doing it. To preach the gospel and the hope that is contained in it. Which is obviously revolves around Israel. He felt so firm about it that he died for that cause. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodgings, and he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. persuading them to concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. I'd love to have been there to hear that address. And notice the gospel message was based on the law of Moses and the prophets. We're talking about the Old Testament. Many Christians think the gospel came and Jesus came into this earth, but its foundations are rooted truly, as we can see there in verse 23, back in the Old Testament. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Some believed. Some took it on board. For others, it was too much for them to probably change their lifestyle to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stay in Acts. We go to Acts chapter 2. And we come to the day of Pentecost. Verse 22. Peter's talking to the men of Israel. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So there were people in that audience who'd actually seen Jesus, heard him speak, saw him do those miracles. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Again, notice the emphasis is on the resurrection. That's what the gospel revolves around. The death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after the address there by Peter, he said in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That must have been an arousing address, mustn't it? That they were pricked in their hearts. It touched a nerve. It touched their conscience. And Peter tells them quite plainly, and this is part of the hope, the gospel message. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you see, there's just more to it than expecting or just having a hope that something's going to happen. It requires a bit of action by the person who is trying to seek that hope in sincerity. We'll go back to Acts chapter 1. Just prior to the Lord Jesus ascending into heaven, he tells them in verse 6, or they asked Jesus in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of Israel. The kingdom had already been on the earth 1,000 years previously with King David and King Solomon. And so that's what they were waiting for, these disciples. They were waiting for the kingdom of God. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So we don't know when it's going to happen. But we believe it's going to happen quite shortly, when we look at world events. And in verse 11 tells us quite clearly that he's coming back. He says, ye men of Galilee, whilst 10 years gazing up into heaven, For this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. As my margin says, the descent therefore will be like the ascension, actual, literal, visible, unexpected, save those who are looking for him. And we Christelphians are looking for him to return. Now, I said we were going backwards. We've been backwards already, but we'll go to that. Well, we've been into Genesis chapter 12, and we've seen the promise which God gave to Abraham. It was a kind of an overall plan and purpose that God has. And again, he confirms his promise to Abram in chapter 13. And notice the highlights again. Verse 15. After he had his shepherds had an argument with Lot over the land, and they separated their certain ways. And verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Now there's something else in the equation. We've got the land, we've got a seed. And notice again that God is prominent in this. He says he's going to do it. There's no ifs and there's no buts about it. Chapter 15, again, he renews the promise to Abraham. Oh, Abraham, in the same day the Lord made a covenant or a promise, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. Now, that's a big tract of land from the Nile to the Euphrates. And that land will be taken up by Israel. Under Solomon, it did actually reach the river Euphrates. And just imagine what's going to happen in this world if Israel takes that tract of land. Verse 17. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. And he was a father of many nations. He was the father of the Jews, he was the father of the Arabs. Neither shall thy name be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, the father of many nations have I made thee. That was around about 2000 BC. At about 1000 BC, these promises were further given to King David. Notice the eyes again. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I set up thy seed after thee, and will proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. So this is the kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now that's a kind of a dual prophecy. It concerns Solomon his son, who did build a magnificent temple for them to worship in. But the second part is speaking of that seed of the Lord Jesus, who will sit on the throne of his father David and establish that kingdom forever. We'll go another 1,000 years, shall we? We come to Matthew chapter 1. And this is the time of Christmas, isn't it? They often sing these songs, don't they, and carols. And notice the emphasis again. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, that it spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child. And he's going back there to Isaiah. There's many other the passages we can look at in the New Testament. But let's talk about this man, Abraham. This is the man who were given the promises in the first place. And just see what a faithful man this man was. Because God liked him. And he gave him these promises because he followed the Lord, his God. In verse 6, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseen that God should justify the heathen or the nations through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. So the gospel was preached to Abraham. Abraham saw the gospel. Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and was glad for it. He knew what the gospel was all about. Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Hey, going back to Genesis chapter 12 in the first three verses. So they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And Paul tells us faith cometh by hearing, which we're talking about this morning. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if we are prepared to hear his word and to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we can be blessed with faithful Abraham. And that is the hope that we in this room have, to be in that kingdom. And maybe speak to Abraham and the other prophets and other faithful men and women of old. Again, notice in this Galatians chapter 3, which basically brings up all the promises and brings it to us and what we should do. And notice in verse 13 we have a reference, don't we, to the redemption that our Lord and Saviour did for us. And how he was crucified on that tree for us. He has made the way for us to be part of that hope. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of Spirit through faith. And this again isn't a New Testament thing. We can go back to Isaiah. And he tells us that Gentiles are going to be included in the promises from God. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this really sums it all up, doesn't it? For ye are all children of God by faith. You can't become a child of God if you haven't got faith in his plan, his purpose, and in Christ Jesus. Of course, he's talking to the believers in Galatia. And we see the importance, as we've seen when Peter was talking to the Israelites at the day of Pentecost, the importance of baptism. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female, for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. And it's quite emphatic, isn't it? It's not just that verse. We've looked at other verses as well, haven't we? And I don't think it's a coincidence that in Ephesians he tells us there's one body, there's one spirit, even as you're called in one hope. There's only one hope. There's not any other hope. There's only one hope for this world. One Lord. There's one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So, hope for a hopeless world. We only just touched the surface, but the gospel is the good news of the coming kingdom on earth. It involves the commonwealth of Israel, which is the promises, the everlasting covenants, with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David. And we haven't even looked into the prophecies. That's another subject on its own. All families of the earth will be blessed, Jew and Gentile. There's a land, we haven't even talked about the capital city, which will be Jerusalem, where Christ will reign from, because it tells us that he will sit on the throne of his father David. We see in the seed plural, which is the Jew and the Gentile. We see in the singular, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come to save his people. And that's everybody. Well, not everybody, but Jews and Gentiles from their sins. Those who are willing to listen. And most importantly, which is what the whole gospel message is based on, that Christ died and took our sins on the cross. He was then resurrected from the dead by Almighty God and sits now on the right hand of God waiting to return. And even Jesus doesn't know when he's going to return, because he tells us only the Father knows when the kingdom will be set up. We have to have faith. We have to have belief in this tremendous hope. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the only way we can come to a knowledge of this hope. And once we have heard, as we said, and once we've understood these things, and then we have a choice, don't we? We can either repent of our sins and be baptized in the saving name of Christ, or just forget it and just leave it, like Agrippa did. And those people who went to see Paul in his lodgings, some accepted it, some didn't. Hope for a hopeless world. Well, I haven't talked about the hopeless world because I wanted to give you the good news first. Now you can compare it with the hopeless world. How can we compare what's on offer from the politicians, do you think? The world is in a bit of a mess, isn't it? Mr. Macron came to power on the wave of populism, as they call it. And he's backtracked, hasn't he? He said he's going to do this, that and the other, and now he's all of a sudden stepped back and given in. And the EU aren't very pleased about it. Mind you, they're not pleased about much these days either, the EU. And what about Brexit? What a complete shambles that is, isn't it? Complete shambles. Theresa May says, didn't she? No deal is better than a bad deal. No, it's kind of changed a bit, hasn't it? Can we put any faith or hope in what she's doing, do you think? Are you really interested in that? Do you think it's going to affect your life? Does it need to affect your life? Does it really matter? To some people it does. But for us, we're not bothered. Because at the end of the day, we do not put our trust in the princes or the rulers of this world, nor in the Son of Man in whom there is no help. That's what the psalmist tells us. So, because God rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. And we can see some like characters or presidents, can't we, and leaders who fit that bill. People who you wouldn't even want to talk to. Not very nice people, but God uses them to fulfill his will. And Mrs. May is there to fulfill his will. How long she's going to be there, I don't know. Mr. Cameron thought he was going to sail through and get this referendum done, and he thought it was easy. And then he had to resign because he failed to convince the country to leave the EU. And now we don't know what's going to happen, do we? And that's why we don't vote. Because we can't put our trust and our faith in the politicians of this world. So the hope revolves around the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the kernel of God's plan and purpose with this earth. I call these the three stooges, you see. There's a bit of humour here, a bit subtle, I suppose, but here we go. The dancing queen, wasn't she? Look at their opportunity. If we believe what we hear on the television and on the papers, there's not going to be much opportunity left, is there? Unless she is given to her best, although it's 1 verses 27, she's still given to her best, isn't she? She's not giving up. She'll have to probably in the end, but who knows? From the Dancing Queen, we go to Captain Birdseye, don't we? Do you think he's going to make any difference? Do you think his party is going to sort out Brexit? No, no parties. They're all divided, aren't they? They're not singing from the same hymn sheet, are they? And that's why we don't put our faith and trust in people like May and Corbyn. Because they're there for a reason, to do God's will. And here we have Paddington Bear, don't we? Yeah, 75 years of age and still going. See, we do not put our faith and trust in these people, brethren, sisters, and interested friends. And I'll finish with these words. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Saviour, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Thank you for listening.